WNYC Studios is supported by Conclave, a gripping thriller from Academy Award-winning director Edward Berger, starring Ralph Fiennes, Stanley Tucci, John Lithgow, and Isabella Rossellini. Conclave is only in theaters October 25th.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning again, everyone. So if you were browsing pictures of adoptable cats recently, thinking about, I don't know, where you might be able to discreetly put a little litter box in your little apartment or something like that, you might have noticed a big yellow notice on the Animal Care Centers of New York City's website. They are closed for cat intake. They're at capacity for cats. Now, the New York Times, the news organization, the city, and our own newsroom have all reported on an increase in the number of cats being surrendered to shelters and the growing population of feral cats around the city. Here to explain some of the reasons for this and also offer some solutions is Will Zweigart, the executive director of Flatbush Cats, a cat rescue organization in Brooklyn, obviously, Flatbush Cats. Will, thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Excited to be here.
Do we know the numbers? Do we know how many cats there are in shelters and on the streets in New York City? We do so many conversations here these days about how many humans are in shelters in New York City. What about cats?
I'm going to give you the honest answer. No one has cared enough to find out.
Wow. You have an estimate?
The estimate is over 500,000 cats.
What?
Yes, exactly. That's the reaction that we all should have. The New York Times did their first feature on this crisis in over a decade in June. Just Google New York Times Flatbush Cats and you can read an in-depth feature about why are there so many cats out here and why are shelters consistently overcrowded. But it all stems from a lack of upstream action. We're not spaying and neutering enough cats and dogs, and a lot of New Yorkers, actually more than 50% of New Yorkers, can't afford a basic vet visit. So if you follow the trail, it's actually pretty clear why we have so many cats suffering outside and in overcrowded shelters.
You know, I think depending on where someone lives, they may have never seen a feral cat in the city. Where are they? Do they tend to be in certain parts, certain places?
1,000%. And I've been a lifelong cat lover, obviously, and I've lived in New York for quite some time. And I didn't experience this crisis firsthand until my partner and I moved to Flatbush in central Brooklyn around 2016. And so, yes, you can be a cat lover, you can be a New Yorker, and you can also be fully unaware of this problem because it largely exists in the margins. If you were to track intake, and we did a FOIL request and worked with ACC to basically track every cat surrender over the last 5 years, over 20,000 surrenders.
Let me just jump in on that point, because for people who don't know FOIL, that's a Freedom of Information Law. That's what it stands for, Freedom of Information Law, FOIL. So you did a FOIL request. Does that mean that the city is supposed to keep numbers or incident reports for cats turned over to animal shelters?
Animal Care Centers of New York is the city-run shelter. It's an independent organization that's funded by the city, and they do an excellent job with an impossible situation. And they do have meticulous records of the animals that are basically washing up on their shores every single day. And so we reached out. They provided this information. We're a very small nonprofit, so I wish we had a data and research team. We do not. But we mapped out each of these intakes by zip code, and you can pretty clearly see a direct tie to the socioeconomic status of that area. So if an area has lower household income, you're going to have significantly more cats on the street, and you're going to have significantly higher intake to shelters. So to answer your question, if you live in Manhattan, no, you're not seeing feral cats. Like, they literally are not easily found, if at all, in Manhattan. But if you know, we've taken several media representatives around the block with us in Flatbush, and they're everywhere. So outer boroughs, this is a major issue. It's certainly not limited to Flatbush or just Brooklyn.
Listeners, have you had to give up your cat to a shelter recently for one reason or another? We'll get more deeply into the reasons that the cat shelters are at capacity right now, and they're not always. Or have you noticed an increase in stray cats in your neighborhood, whether or not you yourself are a cat owner? Or are you thinking about adopting? 212-433-WNYC on any of those things or anything else related. 212-433-9692. Call or text us at that number, or tweet at Brian Lehrer for Will Zweigart, Executive Director of Flatbush Cats. And let's take a feral cat's observation from Cindy in Central Harlem. Cindy, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, thank you. Well, it's not quite true. There are not stray or, as we say, feral cats in Manhattan. There certainly are in Upper Harlem. But we also have several feral cat colonies here, which are well maintained. One specifically in the Joseph Daniel Wilson Memorial Garden in Central Harlem. And I have my other radio on, so that's probably not a good thing. Is that interfering?
It's a little bit noisy in the background because it's on a 10-second delay, so turn it off if you can, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, yeah, I will. No, I just wanted to definitely put in a plug for feral cat colonies, if they're well-maintained. Our has been here since, oh my goodness, about 2000, and we have some wonderful people who care a lot about the environment and about feral cats, and they keep them spayed and neutered as they come. And I will say this, it does a fantastic job with rodent control. And I think, you know, the Department of Health will tell you that cats don't help for rodents. I mean, that's in their workshops and whatever. We know they do. We know they are a major deterrent. However, one cat in my backyard is not going to patrol, you know, all of my neighbors' rodent situation. I would say that. So basically, I just wanted to mention this because I think if there are more people willing to adopt a feral cat colony, that would be certainly helpful in perhaps many ways.
Cindy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, let's follow up on Cindy's call, Will. First of all, she uses the word colony. Is that right? Do feral cats form colonies? Is that the right word?
Yeah, let's talk about some terms, and then I'll get to that question, that topic. We use the term community cats often because community cats could include any outdoor cat, whether it's a friendly owned cat that has outdoor privileges, even though they should not, because cats are an invasive species and they decimate birds and other wildlife that are native to New York. But that also includes, as she noted, feral cats. And just so that we're all clear on the definition, feral cats are completely unsocialized and do not want to be around people. That's why outdoors are their home. And so, yes, colony is an appropriate term for that. And colony caretaking is something that we at Flatbush Cats actively do. We have a large community-based volunteer network that when we start a project on a block, we will trap at the colony level. We don't. And let me explain TNR really quick. Trap, neuter, return is when you humanely trap feral cats, bring them in for spay, neuter services, vaccinations, and other basic care so that they don't reproduce further. And then you return them back outside, again, because they are feral. They don't want to live inside. They can't live inside. The challenge is, and around rodent control, is that's actually a sanitation problem. I'm sure you've talked about this on your show. Rodents are a symptom of a sanitation issue because New York City has a incredibly outdated approach to just handling the tons of trash that are sitting and piled up on our sidewalks. So that's actually not a cat's job. And our mission and our goal from Flatbush Cats' perspective is for there to be no cats on the street and no cats waiting around in overcrowded shelters. And we were formed a couple years ago for the specific purpose of accomplishing those two goals. So we are focused almost exclusively on upstream efforts, things that are going to actually solve the problem of having so many thousands of cats outside and having shelters completely overcrowded. So we typically don't engage in conversations about rodent control because, A, I think research shows that while the presence of cats may be a mild deterrent to mice, rats are like 10 times the size of an average mouse, and cats are smart enough not to engage in conflict with a New York City rat. So the research actually bears out that, no, they're not super helpful there. And again, it's actually not their job.
So the central question, if the animal care centers of New York City are at capacity for cats and closed for intake of cats, is that unusual? And why is it happening now?
Thanks for asking that. We need to understand this is not new. This is a decades-old crisis. We've been talking about how shelters have been full for years and years because they have been. So we can talk about what's happening right now, and we can talk about, you know, the shorter-term effects of COVID and an adoption boom, and we should definitely talk about the broader affordability crisis that is driving surrenders. But the starting point should be that this is a decades-long issue in New York City. And when you have a lack of investment or even acknowledgement of a problem for that long, you've been kicking the can down the road for that long, there are no longer any immediate fixes available. New York City has traditionally underinvested in animal welfare and traditionally not met its moral, ethical, or fiduciary obligations for the animals that are in New York City, whether it's cats and dogs outside or whether it's providing support to residents who need help caring for their pets so they don't have to surrender it. And so we're going to have to look at upstream solutions like significantly increasing our investment at a citywide level towards spay-neuter services so that we can provide relief downstream for shelters. Because why does a shelter exist? They're a safety net. We are asking the safety net, these hardworking folks at shelters across the city, and believe me, they have one of the most difficult jobs in animal welfare, and I'm a huge advocate for the employees and the volunteers at ACC. We are asking them to shoulder this burden, and we are asking thousands of individual rescuers and nonprofit groups like us to shoulder this burden because the city to date, and this will change, to date has just not invested anywhere near what they need to acknowledge this problem.
Is there a pandemic-related aspect of perhaps a surge in adoptions when people were staying home all the time and now a surge in surrenders based on economics?
Yes. I will say again that this is not a pandemic-specific issue, but yes, there was the big news story around this in 2020 was a surge in adoptions, and that was a factor. We are at a record high nationally in terms of pet ownership. I think we're around 70% of adult households have a pet, and that is wild. So what we're talking about here today, this is not a niche issue. Like when we talk about affordability and the fact that 50% of pet owners in the US can no longer afford a basic vet visit, that's not a niche issue. This is a massive, massive problem that's affecting our family members around the country. So there was a big spike, and the data did not show an increase in surrenders specifically because of, if you just look at what the intake data says, why are you surrendering your pet? ACC says that the top two reasons are, I can no longer financially afford to care for my pet, and we need to really listen to that and look into that. And two, I'm having issues with housing. The apartment that I can afford doesn't allow pets. And we need to take action on both of those fronts immediately in order to have a different outcome next year. Otherwise, we'll be talking the same time next year. Shelters will still be overcrowded.
What action?
The first thing we need to do is dramatically increase funding for spay-neuter. And I am talking about at a citywide level, but as a listener right now, you should know that that is a collective action that you can participate in right now. So when you're an animal lover and you're concerned about these problems, typically what you're told is to take individual actions, foster, adopt, volunteer. Those are all important. Flatbush Cats does all of those things. We're rescuing cats right now. Like at this moment, we're rescuing a sick cat that has been out on the sidewalk for 2 weeks. We're fostering cats. We're adopting cats. We're doing all those things. But we had to acknowledge that if we really want to solve this problem, we need to start taking collective actions. So one thing you can do as an individual today is you can fund spay-neuter efforts that are going to provide relief for the entire ecosystem, for shelters, for families, for rescue groups. When you're funding spay-neuter, you may not see the immediate effect, but you are supporting the actual solution. We're building a new nonprofit spay-neuter clinic right now, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. In Flatbush, we are like 98% done with this clinic construction. You can go to flatbushcats.org or flatbushcats.org/build to learn about this project and actually contribute to it today to help us get our doors open. And that's an example of a collective action that you can take, knowing that you are actually part of the solution that will prevent shelters from being overcrowded in the future, and that will prevent families from having to part ways with their pet because they can't afford veterinary care. Veterinary care is the biggest spike in costs of pet ownership, and so that's an issue that we're tackling directly here.
Will Swigert from Flatbush Cats with us as we talk about New York City animal shelters at capacity for cats. No more room at the inn for unhoused cats and the surge in unhoused cats in the city right now. And Taylor in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Taylor. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Brian. Long time, first time. Thanks so much for this conversation and a lot of the other ones you have on the show to help make New York better. I adopted a senior cat from Will a little over 5 years ago and just kind of wanted to echo what he's saying about you have to do, if you want to do something individually, the best thing you can do is to help. Just donate to your local groups that are going to do TNR work. And I know it's kind of like WNYC's sustaining membership program. Like, we just donate monthly. You kind of forget about it. And I know it helps these organizations out a lot.
Taylor, thank you very much. NECA in Riverdale in the Bronx. You're on WNYC. Hello, NECA.
Hi, Brian. I just wanted to plug Paul the Cat Guy. He's based in Queens. He's been open since 2014, and he performs TNR, kitten rescue, adoptions, and rehoming of abandoned adult cats. We were able to get our kitten through his service about 5 years ago. His name is Sebastian.
Thank you very much. So you're saying Paul the Cat Guy, who I don't know about, catches cats, spays them, and sells them? So you bought a cat rather than just adopted a cat?
We did purchase the cat. We purchased Sebastian for, I think, approximately $100. And the cat was spayed before. The $100 covered the spaying, actually.
Mm-hmm. I see.
The neutering, excuse me.
Yeah. Thank you. Is that a good model in your opinion, Will?
In terms of rescue?
Yeah, in terms of rescue. And I know somebody who got a dog recently, and they happened to buy the dog, and they said, well, you know, they felt like they needed to explain the fact that they bought a dog rather than just got one from a shelter, a rescue dog.
I think, you know, you've heard adopt, don't shop for decades. And what she described is adopting from a local rescue. I mean, we have 100 foster cats in our care right now, just Flatbush Cats. And we're just one group. You know, she mentioned there are a lot of organizations, independent folks just doing whatever they can to rescue cats. And every single time that a rescue is taking a cat off the street, providing medical care and adopting them, they are keeping that cat out of the shelter. So ACC has capacity for about 285 cats in their entire system. So we have more than a third of those cats just in our foster program. So the problem is much larger than just what a shelter can house. Mm-hmm. So is it something good to do? Yeah, 100%. If you're thinking about adopting, you should absolutely either adopt from your local shelter or a local rescue organization, no question. And because I know the passion runs deep for animals, we owe it to these animals to understand the problem. And that is why we exist, because we cannot rescue our way out of this problem. We cannot foster or adopt our way out of this problem. We're going to be here rescuing cats for 100 years if we don't go upstream and actually increase funding for spay-neuter. And that's why, even as a small organization, we had to acknowledge that what we were doing was not going to solve the problem. So we pivoted. We said, you know what? There's a huge gap of affordability for veterinary care in Flatbush, in central Brooklyn, actually across the city, as I'm sure your listeners will tell you. And so, you know what? We're going to build a nonprofit veterinary clinic so we can get to the root of the issue. We hired 2 full-time vets. We have a staff of 10 amazing folks. And the entire model is focused on people and their pets and providing affordable spay-neuter services and other basic wellness care. Because I don't want to live in a world where pet ownership is a privilege for the few. I think that's ridiculous. And so if we have to really channel the passion that we have for our own animals towards collective action so that other families can enjoy that same love and companionship.
Here's a kind of amazing story that just came in on Twitter. Listener writes, over the last 5 weeks, I have contacted 150 and more shelters and cat sanctuaries in a 600-mile radius of Rockland County for 33 cats in a condemned home. Found 2 amazing, well-funded, no-kill shelters upstate, but 11 cats still waiting on spaces to open, all shelters way over capacity. So, wow. Contacting 150 shelters and cat sanctuaries within a 600-mile radius of around here after finding 33 cats in a condemned home in Rockland. That is some story. We're going to get one more caller in here with a policy note. Susan in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Susan.
Yes, thank you very much. I wanted just to urge viewers who vote in New York to please support a bill that was introduced by Linda Rosenthal in the Assembly, and there's the Senate version by James Skouthis up in, I don't know if he's in Dutchess, but he's upstate slightly. And it concerns regulation of the pet insurance industry. With pet insurance, if it were affordable and if the types of things that were always considered pre-existing were not permitted to be a basis for denial, it would really help owners. That way, spread the risk, have every animal insured with whatever costs there are, and try to make it more affordable. I can certainly understand the thousands and thousands of dollars for basically surgical procedures. A lot of things are not covered in many policies, but have a look at these bills if you want the number. I don't know what the new number was, but this past year was A00258 in the Assembly and S03570 in the Senate. Again, Rosenthal, Assembly, Skouthis, Senate. It would be very helpful. It would also be helpful, in my view, to try to have something like the HCC system for animal welfare, have a regular system of state and local funded veterinary clinics that could be managed by residents who could perhaps reduce their extremely heavy vet school debt. And if they were overseen by people from Cornell or even perhaps UPenn, the other schools, there are a lot of possibilities. And the influx, or I'm sorry, but the adoption rate during the pandemic, of course, aggravates it. And it's just terribly expensive to own a pet, and people don't always understand it. Thank you very much.
Very detailed, very systemic look at policy and some of the things that are needed. Will, I'll give you the last word here. And of course, when Susan says pet insurance, she's talking about health insurance for pets, right?
Yeah, and it doesn't sound like we have time to get into that too much, but I'll just ask listeners, how has the insurance system worked out for you? I think we have an absolutely terrible system right now with health insurance for people, and it's devastating for folks. And so certainly not a model that I would want to see followed in the veterinary care space. I just want folks to know, look, you're tuning into this show because you care about the substantive issues and not just the surface level. So I want you to know that this is a solvable problem. It is. Like, I was working in advertising. I actually used to work on this block for an advertising agency. When I learned how we can solve this, I quit my job to build the solution, which is to make veterinary care more affordable and accessible for everyone. And just think about how that feels. Doesn't that feel good to think about all of your neighbors and your community members being able to afford that love and companionship, not having to give up pets or abandon them outside because you can't afford to care for your pet? It feels good. It's right. It's the right thing to do. And we're building the solution right now. So I'm going to invite everyone to be a part of it. Visit us at flatbushcats.org/build. Help us get this clinic open, because if we can do it here, we can do it anywhere.
Will Swigert, the executive director of Flatbush Cats. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Brian.